Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to the Women's Podcast. I'm Roisin Ingle. And of course, if this is your first time listening or you just recently found us, thank you so very much for putting us in your ears. Get in touch with us on social at IT Women's Podcast or email us. We're on the Women's Podcast at irishtimes.com. Let us know what you think of this episode or about anything you'd like us to cover in the future. We love hearing from you. Now, it's World Poetry Day today, Thursday, 21st of March. So we are getting in on the action.
Dear body, I didn't mean what I said about your wobbly bits. I love your stretch marks and scars and your big droopy tits, your round blancmange belly and your two boiled ham thighs. I love the crepe paper creases around each of your eyes.
That was a snippet of a poem from Jan Brereton there, and we'll be hearing more from her in just a moment. But the big news this week is Leo Varadkar's emotional announcement that he is stepping down as leader of Fine Gael and as Taoiseach for personal and political reasons. His news sent me looking back to 2018 when he came on a live women's podcast we did at the Body and Soul Festival to talk about his part in the referendum to repeal the Eighth Amendment. So I thought we'd play a little snippet from him on that occasion for the week that's in it.
People won it in the end, but I think what really won it was the bravery of campaigners like Alva and Anna and others who
and Claudia
who fought for women's equality and LGBT equality before many of us were even willing to talk about these issues. Before I was born, indeed. Yeah. but also I think genuinely it was the personal stories. Now, if you look back at the 1983 referendum. That wasn't really a feature in it. You didn't have women and their partners telling the stories that we heard, you know, particularly around people who got the devastating diagnosis of a fatal fetal abnormality. You know, real people who took those real decisions. And that, from what I read anyway, I don't remember the H3 referendum, but from what I read, that wasn't a feature at the time.
No,
and it takes enormous personal bravery for people to do that, and they did it. And all politicians are is facilitators of change. We don't really make it happen, but we are the ones who can facilitate it. And the country had come to that decision already.
And of course, Leo Varadkar has come in for a lot of criticism over the years as Taoiseach and as our co-Taoiseach, as Oliver Callan likes to call him. But he certainly did the state some service, not least with his part in repeal. And it was very interesting because he originally held a very different position on abortion. And like many of the population, his mind and his heart was changed on the issue. And it's going to be fascinating to see what happens now as Fine Gael choose a new leader. But today is World Poetry Day, and the theme of the day this year is Standing on the Shoulders of Giants. And it serves as a call to action, urging us to support and encourage emerging poets as they embark on their creative journeys. So that's what we're doing today. Dubliner Jan Brereton is a freelance fashion stylist. When COVID restrictions led Jan to assume the full-time role of teacher, playground chaperone, cook, cleaner and general entertainer, she was inspired to write and share a poem about her experience, which went viral and led to her first poetry book, What Day Is It? Who Gives a Fuck? And she is now continuing her creative journey with her second book of poetry, Everybody Is a Poem, Midlife in Rhymes. And it's dedicated to the multitaskers, the overreactors, the silent screamers and the quiet lovers. As I mentioned, you'll remember her from that very first poem, What Day Is It? Who Gives a Fuck?, written during the pandemic, during one of the worst lockdowns. And it was a case of Jan's own internal dialogue tumbling onto the page. The result was that first book, raw, honest and funny observations on family and relationships, on feeling a bit crap and being perfectly imperfect. The new book, Everybody Is a Poem, puts simple words to deep feelings as Jan lets it all out on menopause, midlife, the mental load, loss, self-acceptance and much more. It's poetry for everybody and we are delighted to have her joining us this week for World Poetry Day. Jan lives in Killester, Dublin with her husband Austin and her children Willow and Theo. She's something of an accidental poet, she says herself. So I began by asking Jan whether with two books under her belt now, she can call herself a poet proper.
Yeah, thanks, Roisin. That's still a bit jarring. I'm an accidental poet, yeah. I know, look, I'm owning it a little bit more. And I suppose what I've learned from the whole thing is that you can be lots of different things at once, you know. So you can be a mother and a wife and a daughter, and I can still have my day job and I can still say that I'm a poet as well. I can also be angry and happy and funny and sad at the same time.
Yes, a real multitasker, which is one of your poems in the new book. Yeah. And should tell everyone the book is called Everybody Is a Poem, Midlife in Rhymes, which is such a lovely title. Briefly remind us how you first got into poetry, because you're a stylist by trade. And for those who might only be hearing about you for the first time, tell us about your sort of accidental launch as a poet.
It was January 2021, it was the 28th of January 2021, exactly. I think it was around 11 p.m. and I'd had an absolute rotter of a day and I was sick of going to the park and I was sick of having to get coffees and drink them out of paper cups and sick of not being able to see my friends, and I curse a lot and I just had this kind of rhythm of, am I allowed to curse on this actually?
You absolutely are. And just to remind people, it was in the lockdown, deep into lockdown, wasn't it?
Yeah. We were in lockdown part three, I think, at this stage. And I was just like, fuck this and fuck the coffee and fucking... I just had this rhythm of kind of bad language and fury. And I was sitting in bed and I wrote a poem. I'd never written a poem before. And it was called What Day Is It? Who Gives a Fuck? Because I was just sick of every day feeling like it was the same. And I typed it up into my phone, but I went downstairs and said to my husband, I think I've written a poem. And he was like, are you okay? And I was like, I feel amazing. And I've never had that feeling before. And I hope you have, and I hope lots of people have as well. But you know, when you do something, you go, I actually think this is okay. And I kind of typed it up in my phone and I sent it to a few people, and just mams from like school groups and people who I knew and people who I kind of thought, okay, might get this.
And I was one of those people. I remember
and
getting
you're
this.
One of those people. Yeah.
And I remember getting your poem because we know each other through the sort of school gate, I suppose, kind of kids went to the same school. And I remember just thinking, Jesus, talk about summing up a time, like such an intense time. And I was so delighted for you that you've done this, your first poem, like you'd never done it before. But I love the way Austin, your husband, said, are you OK, when you said you'd written a poem?
Yeah, he was like, OK. I was like, do you want to read it? And he was like, no, you read it to me. But yeah, and then I suppose, yeah, and thanks to you then as well. You know, I'm not on Twitter and or X or whatever it's called now. And you were on it and you were like, oh, can I share this on my Twitter? And I was like, yeah, grand. I find that whole kind of platform really scary. And so you, I kind of vicariously tweeted it through you, which was lovely. And and then you put it in the newspaper.
And it went kind of crazy. I mean, it really, I mean, viral. It went everywhere, didn't it? Yeah. People responded to it. Were you amazed?
Oh, yeah, I was, yeah. And I was getting messages from people in Australia and places saying, oh, I just got that. And like my cousin sent it to me and was like, I've just gotten this in a WhatsApp group and your name's not even on it. You know, it was that kind of thing. It was like, I didn't even put my name on it. I was just like, fuck this. Like, you know, get it out there. I don't, you know, share away. And and then I made tea towels of it. Then the merchandiser in me came in. I put it on a tea towel. There was something really ironic about putting that poem on a tea towel. And it meant people were able to share it. And then, yeah, from that then came a literary agent and a book. And once I kind of started writing, I couldn't stop. And you know what? I'm not blowing smoke up your bum or anything, Roisin, but all the way through, you, I remember you used to text me and you'd say, keep going, keep going. And do you remember I'd send you like mad, silly stuff that I'd be, I think I wrote another one, I'd send. You'd be like, yeah, go on. So that was, you know, and that was lovely. And to feel that you were able to kind of get uplifted or you're able to share that way was lovely. And then to do it in a book, then where lots of other people then are sending you messages going, yeah, go on. Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, you know. So it was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And then I just kept going. So now we're at book number two. It feels very different though, book number two, because I suppose I feel maybe a bit more like a poet now. So when I'm writing things, I know that I'm writing a poem and I know that, you know, the intention is to put something in this way or put a feeling or whatever out in this way. So this does feel very different, but it's still great crack.
The first book was like, What Day Is It? Who Gives a Fuck? Was very much like a historical document a bit of how we were feeling in the pandemic and lockdown. I mean, there was other things in it too, but the new book, Everybody Is a Poem, Midlife in Poems, kind of branches out a bit more. The themes are like love, they're getting older, menopause, loss. Could you read out maybe one of your favourites for us first to get a sense of the kind of stuff you're doing? Because like Midlife in Poems is really interesting because there's a lot of rich content there, isn't there?
Yeah, well, like I'm 48 and yeah, each day is a new learning day and I get lots of cool kind of feelings, not so cool every single day, and then they end up kind of inspiring, you know, whatever I might write about. I'll read you this one actually. So I kind of broke, the poems are all kind of broken up into different kind of openers, I suppose. So there's when there's nothing left in the tank is obviously about being exhausted. New year, now you is that, it's like an antithesis to that kind of, oh, you know, you need to do this. It's like, fuck that. Like, you know, it's me. It's not, you know what I mean? When memories become treasure is about loss and lifelines is about kind of family and love. I'll read you, dress your shoe size, not your age, is about aging. And I think that's probably the best tip actually that I can give to anybody about, you know, I'm a 38 in my shoe. So I just dress like a 38 year old. What shoe size are you?
I'm 39.
39, yeah. See? Yeah. I mean, that's also 6 and I'm also 5. So, you know, I sometimes do dress like a 5-year-old. Yeah, look, I'll read this one. This is called Sound Body. And it's just, it's a letter that I wrote to my own body. And just thinking about the way we all talk to ourselves about our bodies and the things that we say to our bodies. And we forget that they're so cool. So this is called Sound Body. Dear body, I didn't mean what I said about your wobbly bits. I love your stretch marks and scars and your big droopy tits, your round blancmange belly and your 2 boiled ham thighs. I love the crepe paper creases around each of your eyes. I love the pimple that lodges on your forehead for weeks. I love the hair on your toes and the dimples on your bum cheeks. And though sometimes I wish that your legs were longer, I'm you, you're me, and together we're stronger. You hold me, you host me, you move me around. My body, my gift. Dear body, your sound.
I mean, I really think your poems come to life when you read them. You've become a kind of performer too in this, haven't you?
Yeah, a friend of mine described me as Pam Ayres on acid. But I was like, oh, I have to use that. I'll take that. Yeah, I've been like the first book I got to do like Electric Picnic and I got to do a couple of live shows. I did like the Mutiny Theatre myself and the Rose Festival and stuff. And yeah, I was mad for giving the poems out and getting other people to read them. And then someone said to me, no one's going to read your poems like you do. And yeah, I really enjoy performing them now and sharing them. And I love them when people come up and say, oh my God, completely, you know, got that. So I can still keep them as mine, but I'm, you know, able to kind of share the experience through them. But I love reading them. I love reading them.
And it's World Poetry Day today, Jan. There's a kind of a, or there has been maybe a snobbishness about poetry. What is your own experience of it sort of growing up? Because it can seem quite, I don't know, elitist and up there. But lately, there's a lot more poets who are speaking in a kind of vernacular that's more accessible. And there seems to be room for a lot more people in poetry than there was before.
Yeah, I mean, like, I suppose I've, I comfortably feel that I'm not the same as, you know, other kind of spoken word artists and stuff. I feel, and I'm all right with that. Do you know what I mean? I don't try and kind of squeeze myself into, oh, you know, I should be doing, I don't know, something very kind of refined in the National Concert Hall with like some Seamus Heaney stuff or whatever else. And although he would, you know, kind of written quite plainly as well, but I'm all right with that. I'm okay with the fact that it's just me talking about things that I know in the way that I speak comfortably. And I suppose I've kind of accepted that. I definitely at the beginning thought, you know, what will all the real poets think? You know, when the book came out, I was like, are they all going to be like, who's your one? Like, she's not a poet. But, you know, I like the fact that I speak the way that I do about the things that I do. And then maybe people who didn't think they were into poetry are like, oh, yeah, I like poems. You know, I suppose there's something for everyone. Like, I would have had that experience in school of, you know, you'd open up the soundings and your teacher would start some poem with you and they'd literally, it was like they were translating every line. You'd write it down in like pencil in between each line because you'd be like, what they really mean is, and then you'd kind of fill it in. So yeah, so this is obviously, it's a lot more accessible. I say it as I see it. And I think there's value in that as well. And you know what someone else said to me, actually, I thought was really interesting. They were saying that the size of the book feels like it makes it less intimidating. Do you know what I mean? And I'd never thought of that before as well. It was like, oh yeah, because I feel like I can just put it in my pocket or whatever. I never thought I was into poetry, but look, I've got this little poetry book in my pocket. So,
I mean, yeah. And it's a beautiful size, and fair play to New Ireland. It's beautifully, the last book was gorgeous and this one is too. And it's 52 poems. It says on the back here, which delve into the darkest and brightest moments of our day, month or year. Talk about the menopause, Jan, a bit, because you've got a few poems in there that touch on it. The fog, dark day and forecast. Yeah. What has your own journey been through the menopause? Because we talk about it quite a lot on this podcast.
Yeah, well, I'm 48 and it's funny, I wrote this one of the poems, I might read it to you in a minute, called A Handbook, but I wrote that after, like, I went to see a menopause specialist a good few years ago. I mean, it would have been pre-kind of COVID because I was just all over the place. My hormones were all over the place and I was diagnosed with a thing called PMDD, which is like, it's like PMS on a million miles an hour. It's a dysphoria, basically, and it's hormonal and it messes with your head. And, I mean, this much better ways to describe it, but I suppose it made sense of how I was feeling. And when I went in to see the specialist, you know, I think there was like 36 different symptoms of the menopause, and she was calling them out. And there's 40 odd now, by the way, so there's been more added over the years. But I was kind of going, yeah, tick, yeah, I have that, yeah, the hot flushes and the fog and the rage and the everything else, and my boobs feel funny and my fanny feels funny and everything else. And it was, you know, you just feel like you're losing yourself. You feel like you're kind of out of yourself. And I left there and I was going, you know, she's going to give me a leaflet. She's going to give me something. You know, when you have a baby and they give you the baby and they also give you a leaflet when you leave the hospital. And at least you kind of go, just check the leaflet now. What does it say? Or the handbook. And she didn't give me anything. There was no leaflet. There was no handbook. There was nothing. So that's how come I kind of wrote the poem about, you know, all the horrible stuff that kind of happens that you don't really talk about.
Read us that one, the handbook, then.
Yeah. Okay, no one tells you that your eyebrows fall out and they grow from your chin. They don't tell you that your teeth twist and that your hair gets thin, or that without a bra, your boobs tuck into your socks, and beyond 46, you'll still get spots. There's no discussing the rage, gritted teeth, constant fucks, a new addition to your already complex makeup. The fog and hot flushes, bigger boobs, bigger arse, chills, sweaty nights. There's no midlife weather forecast. Shrinking confidence, leaky sneezes, wind, a weakened ego. Don't talk about the body loathing or the dwindling libido. And the handbook has no mention of the dry pain in your fanny. You know, the handbook. I'm lying. There isn't any.
Excellent. That's great.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss.
plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The thing is, I think your book is full of self-esteem, though, as well. It's full of making people feel better about themselves. Like, while that's a list of all the things that are sort of that are difficult and challenging, but it's about kind of loving ourselves as well and accepting all of that.
Yeah, like, I think, like, the biggest thing I have realised even from writing them and when I'm writing them is, you know, like, there's a poem there called Hope and stuff, and it's, I was feeling really crap, like, when I was writing a portion of all of these, and realizing sometimes that you feel shit is just as, you know, there's almost a hope in that, and acknowledging that you're feeling crap. And I think there's so much kind of toxic positivity, you know, that's dealt to us now, and it's like, you know, you have to be happy, or you have to be nice, or you have to be kind, and blah blah blah. But it's like, I can be kind, but I can also be a bitch, and I can be, you know, I can be happy, but I can also be really, you know, browned off that, you know, the dishes weren't washed yesterday or something. And that can really affect me for a whole day. Like, I think for me, I like to be able to speak honestly about those kind of things. And I hope it kind of gives people the permission to kind of feel that way as well, or at least go, I'm not the only one, you know. And that's been the theme between the first book and the second book. I love it when people are like, me too. Or that's me. And that's why it's Everybody is a Poem in a way. It's like, that's me. The woman in me is exhausted. That's me. You know, the fog. That's me.
And there's a lot of love in the book too. And poems that are dedicated to your husband, Austin. I really like Love is Taking Out the Bins. Basically not about having to make huge gestures or give flowers or chocolates to show kind of the love and everyday support that you get from a partner. Like, you're very good on the whole long-term monogamy thing.
Yeah, I hope I am. Anyway, you know what? Austin is the most gorgeous, quiet, lovely, probably quietly seething. I don't know. But he lets me get on with my stuff. He's quietly there to support me. And he's like, I'd be very demonstrative. I'm a big hugger and I'm a big touchy-feely and I give you big kisses and whatever else. And Austin sometimes will, you know, he'll ask, can I give you a hug? You know, and I'd be like, just give me the bloody hug, like, you know. And then I suppose you kind of realise as well, and a bit like, you know, all the other stuff, it's like, you know, yeah, maybe it's not big flowers or big bunches of flowers, or maybe it's not gifts every day, or maybe it's not, you know, posting stuff up on Instagram or whatever. It's like, you know, it's that love language, isn't it? It's like, you know, maybe making me tea is, that's actually his way of saying that he loves me, you know? Yeah. And I know that, and that's cool, and I'm cool with that. I wrote him a poem actually the other day, and it was in the style of John Cooper Clarke's, you know, the I Want to Be Yours. So it was a real response to that. And I wrote it for him, and I just thought, this is the best thing I've ever written. It's so cool. And he was completely nonplussed by it when I got home. He was like, oh, yeah, that was grand, yeah. And that's it. And I was like, okay, well, that's him positively beaming for me. So, you know, move on to the next thing. But yeah, it's that kind of, again, it's real, simple, honest love. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be, you know, flowers and fancy and whatever else. It can be other things as well.
It's the ordinary everyday, I think, that can be so miraculous in life, that doesn't come all, like you say, with ribbons or flowers or anything like that, but just the ordinary everyday things that we maybe sometimes take for granted. But actually, when you put the spotlight on them, they're as beautiful as any other kind of, you know, forcibly romantic kind of thing. Another poem I'd love you to read, actually, is The Last Conversation We Never Had. And maybe you could talk a bit about it before you read it. It's about your brother who died. He was only 39. Can you tell us a bit about him?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that's Alan was my brother, and he's 7 years dead now. And Alan was my younger brother, so it was only me and him. And he had, you know, issues with addiction for most of his adult life. And I suppose it's only in the last couple of years as well that I'm kind of coming to terms with the fact that he was actually more than his addiction. Because in a way, when somebody is in addiction and you're living with them, that's all that you see. You know, and I've huge regrets, obviously, around the fact that I wasn't able to see outside of his addiction when he was alive. But I wrote this poem to him as a conversation, as something, you know, look, we've all got people who, you know, we wish we could have that last conversation with, and the things that you might say. And I wrote this, it's really the things that I would say to him today. There was another thing as well that I realised with my mum and dad. I used to get really cross with my mum and dad, with my brother and his addiction and stuff. And I kind of just realised, I don't know what it was, about a year ago, where I kind of was like, do you know what? They actually were always waiting for him to come back to himself. They just wanted him to be like he was before. And maybe that was never going to happen, but kind of holding on to that, you know, and I only realised that after. I couldn't see it at the time. So, yeah.
And there's a feeling a bit about regret to some degree of sometimes when we're in the middle of something like that, we're maybe not as compassionate as we'd like to be or as, yeah. Do you have regrets around it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And but I suppose the way I can kind of, because everybody, you kind of carry your regret with you and stuff. I suppose I think that the relationship that I had with him at the time was the only one that I was able to have with him at the time. So there's not a great benefit in me trying to, you know, kind of unpick that and go, why? You know, I suppose the best I can do now is think I'm definitely more compassionate now than I was. I'm sorry that I wasn't able to be with him, but I damn well will be for anybody else who comes across my path. Do you know what I mean? In the, you know, in the meantime. And so there you go. There's the shit and the sweet. You know, it's like, that's absolutely crap. But I do know that there was something there that, you know what I mean? That was okay.
Well, let's hear this poem about your brother, the last conversation we never had.
How was your day? You're looking well. Are you feeling okay? Do you need to tell someone about the pain you are in? Tell me. Tell me, I'm your blistering skin. You think I don't hear you, but I see all your hurt. We all feel it. We live it. Mam goes to church and prays every Sunday for your safe return from your pain and your aching. That one day you'll learn to live and to love unconditionally you. To go easy. Be gentle after all you've been through. Talk. I listen. No solutions I'll give. I don't have the answers, but I want you to live. When the numbness and dark covers you like a quilt, it's normal your feelings of shame and of guilt. There's much more to you than the tablets you take or the drink that you drown in or the mistakes that you make. I tell you to work on yourself as you are, to accept all your flaws. It's not easy, it's hard. I know, because I'm learning to live with all mine. Someone says, how are you? You feel shit, but say fine. I'd say, talk tomorrow, get some rest, take it easy. I love you, my brother. You'd say, don't be cheesy. Not much has changed since I spoke with you last. The kids do their sports. Mam still goes to mass. Dad got a new telly. He hasn't mastered his phone. And like when you were here, they wish you would come home.
Oh, it's really beautiful, Jan.
Thanks.
And I think you, like the sweet and the shit, like you said, it's all there and it's all in your in this book. And it's amazing how well it's doing already. I mean, it's in the top 10, isn't it?
Yeah, it was in the charts.
It's amazing. Like a tiny little book of your second book of poetry. It's just incredible.
Yeah, no, it's great. And I'm so like, I love all the support. And I love the fact that maybe like that people who didn't think they were into poetry, you know, they're kind of going out and buying a poetry book, like, you know. Yeah, look, it's just, it's absolutely brilliant. I absolutely love every minute of it, and the opportunity to share the poems and stuff has just been, it's great. It's and really great.
The last few poems in the book are about kind of loving the skin that you're in, self-esteem repair and semi-D. Has that kind of been a process for you over the years, or have you always been someone who's kind of been okay with yourself?
Probably on the surface, I've been okay with myself. It's like I work in fashion, like I work for a model agency. So like I see male, female models at various stages of undress a lot of the time. And I've seen it for years. You can't help but go, oh, look, those boobs are lovely. My boobs don't look like that. Or, do you know what I mean? Oh, look, there's no stretch marks there, and I've got loads of stretch marks here. Like, I don't know whether that's, you know, kind of just helped me go, oh, sure, fuck it, I don't look like that. Do you know what I mean? Or not. But, like, I think after having kids and everything, and, you know, it's a bit like that sound body. It's like, you know, you kind of appreciate your physical, like the thing that you're, you know, that you're actually in. It's still a sexual kind of, you know, being as well. But it's like, you know, I can be sexual and have stretch marks and a blancmange belly, like, you know. So that's probably, yeah, it's, you know, I loved myself when I was 20 something and nubile with tiny boobs. I never had to wear a bra, you know. I'd be like, do you ever hear that thing that if you can put a boob into a the champagne, now not the flutes, obviously.
Into the coupe, like the Marilyn Monroe kind of coupe, yeah.
Right, so that's the perfect size for boobs. And I'd be like, anything, you know, anything more than that is too much. Like, do you know, and I've probably got a pint glass or one of them big Toby jugs at this stage. But like, you know, I still quite like them. So I suppose maybe the love for myself has grown in the same way that I have. So, yeah. But it is weird, isn't it? Like, you see all this stuff and you should look a certain way, or you should be nice, or you should be this, or you should be that. It's difficult not to take it on board.
Yeah, but I think your poetry is about sort of unpicking all of that. You also are a podcaster now. Your podcast is coming back, is that right?
Yeah, if I can get my finger out. So the first season is there. That was like a labour of love. What I learned was that I'm slow and I can't multitask, even though I've written a poem about multitask. And I let you into a secret as well about the poem about multitask in the book. There's a spelling error. There's a spelling error.
Oh, no.
There's a typo in. But the irony of it, Roisin, in the poem multitask.
Yeah.
I think I was probably, I don't know, I was probably sending text messages to GAA clubs when I was doing the proofread of it. But anyway, don't go searching for it.
But you know, I think you should make out that that's deliberate, because multitasking, you can't do everything at the same time. There has to be something has to give, you know?
Absolutely. So the fact that it was in that, and it's in just it's in just before the last line where I talk about multitasking, our increased rate of error.
Okay.
And the error is just above that, right? You got it.
I'll have a look.
So the podcast was taking me a lot of time. I can't do the book and do the podcast all at once. So I did the first season, took a break, got the second book kind of ready to go. In theory now, I should probably, okay, the second book is there, I should probably start the second podcast. But I think probably my focus will be on this for a little while, and then I look for season two. And it's going to be fairly sporadic. I do all the editing myself. I speak to gorgeous people, and, you know, and again, we just talk about, and again, it's another platform for the poems, it being World Poetry Day. It's another opportunity for people to talk about poetry in a way that maybe they wouldn't imagine they would. And what I did find actually from doing it was, is that lots of people have a poem that they carry with them, or they have a line or a couple of verses of something that they carry with them for all of their life, and it means something to them for some reason. And that's, you know, that's kind of cool as well, because you might realise it. So yeah, season two will be coming soon once I get all this stuff done.
Okay, brilliant. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you on World Poetry Day. You're incredible. You are a poet and you know it at this point, I think.
I'm willing to accept it anyway, that's for sure.
Yeah, and well, look forward to book three, because I'm sure that's coming. Is that in the works?
Well, I wrote the first poem for book three, as I said, about Austin there at the weekend. Now, he didn't think it was great, but hopefully the publishers will.
Fair enough. No, you know, just need to get New Island on board, and Austin can maybe grow to love it or something over the weeks.
He loves it. He loves it silently.
Yeah. Listen, it's been great talking to you, Jan Brereton. You're a wonder, and thank you very much for coming on.
I love you, Roisin. Thanks so much.
That was Jan Brereton there, and her book is Everybody's a Poem, and I recommend it so highly. It really is brilliant and is a great thing to give as a gift to someone you love as well. And if you enjoyed this episode on the podcast, please leave us a review or subscribe to the podcast, as it really makes a difference to us. The podcast is produced by Suzanne Brennan and by me, Roisin Ingle, with JJ Vernon on sound. Talk to us on social at IT Women's Podcast, or email us on thewomenspodcast@irishtimes.com. That's it for me. Mind yourselves, and I will talk to you next time.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.